Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody is enjoying the season, and I'm hoping everybody remembers the reason for the season. I will be playing on, I will be live on Christmas Eve, and I'm going to be giving you the history behind our Christmas as we understand it, the deep-rooted traditions that have been implanted in America, just in case you're kind of curious as to where all this stuff would come from. So let me move forward, because as you know, today is Aaron Tilbury Day. We've got a kind of a local and national hero, Aaron Tilbury, who's going to be with us. He is the founder of the Jonah Project. I call him a hero because he does not even take a penny. He does not get paid. And I know he needs money to help this actually start growing legs and to get bigger, because there are thousands. You're going to find that there's thousands of kids that are trapped in the sex slave trade right here in America. And he actually has a process that works, and he is making a difference. So if you can find it in your hearts to get behind something, maybe this might be something that you might want to get behind. But let me get through some of these obligations that I have. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will provide you with the solutions that will put the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so one of the things that I kind of want to get into before we go too far is literally the obligatory groveling, because I do want to let you know that if you want to help, you can. There's different ways you can help. We do have our crowdfunding that is out on GoFundMe. You can hit us up with throwing us $5, $10, whatever you can. We appreciate it. I also say that it is not about money. If you can provide some, for some people, it's just cheaper to give than it is because their time is way too valuable for them at this point in time in their life. I get it. So if you have time and you have no money, then why don't you send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And that way we can literally get you on board with doing some research, making some phone calls. There's plenty of things that you can do if you want to help. So I will give you the email once again. It is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also want to let you know before we actually pick up, because we're going to be going into break pretty quick here, and I want you to, even though I know this is not going to be a great connection because Aaron's going to be calling in on a cell phone into our phone lines, but I will tell you that some of the information he's given me over the years, and he'll probably cover some of this today, is the fact that, put this into perspective, these are kids. These are children. These kids have parents. They have a mother and a father out there somewhere. And I can't imagine, you know, having a life, having parents that have loved me and having the pleasure of growing up in a, I would just say, a traditional family. It's just hard for me to fathom how a family can exist knowing that their child is missing and or subjugated to something that they don't even know. These are very dark. The other thing that he's pointed out to me, and hopefully he'll bring this up today, is the fact that many of the pimps, many of the handlers, or the kids that are actually getting these kids into this trade are fellow kids. This is going to blow you away. I've been harping on how evil the school system is. It takes a blind eye. And I know in past interviews, Aaron has told me about, you know, how he's had more difficulty with the education system because they just don't want this stain on their record. They don't want you to know that they're really not doing anything about it. And it's not that they don't want to do anything about it. It's just like, it's weird. Like they can't do anything about it. If you look at what has happened under the Obama administration with the transgender bathrooms and everything else, you have to start questioning what the heck is going on with our education system and why it has become such indoctrination centers. You know, I've harped on that a lot, but today we're going to focus on, unfortunately, this evil that is lurking around all of us throughout the Republic, and that is the sex slave trade. And so when we come back, we will have Aaron Tilbury, and I hope you enjoy these coming segments. So thank you very much, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, folks, so we happen to have back on the line with us, and I always call him Jonah because I don't know why. I'm bad with names, but this is Aaron Tilbury. He's a hero in the Spokane area. And actually, I know that you've been working outside the Spokane area. So how far and, you know, how wide is the Jonah Project's reach today?
That's a great question. I mean, as you know, me and you have talked off the air about this last year being so eventful. I was just talking with my team. It's pretty interesting. This week will be a year that I actually went to another country to get a young woman back. And so that is not our typical, you know, that's not typically our everyday operation. It just gives you kind of the scope of things that are possible. And so in that letter, actually, to my team, I talked about the fact that, you know, just in the last year, we've worked back and forth with Texas, North Carolina, Oregon, Montana. Just got a thank you letter from a mom in Montana that just got her daughter and her granddaughter home. And so it's been really a blessing, man. This season has been amazing.
Right, right. So you're also working with folks, I think, in the Carolinas. Is that not correct? Or how far out are you going?
Yeah, our very first contact was in North Carolina back when we were doing just relocation before we had a safe house. That contact, we still work with today. But there are some other agencies that they've been able to kind of refer for us that didn't have safe housing available when they had a kid that was hurting. So we do have, you know, you and I think last time talked about kind of that railroad being a functioning thing. And we actually now have two kind of things happening. One, we still have the railroad functioning where we're getting kids from other areas that don't have a place to be safe. And we now just opened up our first hub, which is in Reardon, kind of not too far from Spokane. In that kind of Reardon Davenport area. And so now we have kind of a functioning extension of the railroad going the other direction as well.
So one of the questions I have is, can you quantify the magnitude of this problem? In other words, how many good lives are being trapped and destroyed nationwide in this system?
Yeah. I can give you, some direct statistics that people could, you know, jump on either our website or, you know, Homeland Security or, you know, that type of thing and look at them. Probably the most detailed and efficient, kind of data place other than maybe Polaris. But in 2015-16, which is a couple of years ago, the estimates were around 350,000. And that's the number in the United States of women and children that were in this type of servitude.
Right.
And we're talking about slavery, right? And so you know, this is a couple of years ago, and we know that that hasn't been curtailed. In that same study, you know, we were told that it's around 10 or 12,000 additional kids that are brought here from other countries. You know, one of the things that, you know, we've always had to look at is, you know, how much of this is a situation where people are brought here versus what the issue looks like here. And certainly the context is different. But we found that the vast majority, over 80% of the slaves here are born and raised here. And so you're right. It's a massive number nationally. GR, and it's not going down yet.
So another question I have then, and maybe you can kind of give us some light on this, because with these caravans coming up, we've heard that some of these kids are being trafficked for literally for the sex slave trade. Is that a reality?
You know, in terms of the caravans, I kind of feel like, if I'm going to, you know, I want to be as honest as I can be, I think there's so much of what we say that is maybe educated speculation, but it's speculation. Then we find out maybe it's true. Like that gang member, for example, that the GS was a GS-13 or something, MS-13, something like that. Gang member that was just reported as being found in the caravan. And so I don't know firsthand. It actually was, by the way, Mexico where I was last year, but there was no caravan, you know, issue at that time at the border. What I can tell you is it would shock me. It would absolutely shock me if there weren't a lot. I mean, not just a few, but a lot of women or children in that caravan where that's exactly, you know, I mean, it's just, why wouldn't the bad guys use a caravan like that to shield? I mean, it's a vessel that is easier for them to use than others that they've used. So it would shock me if that wasn't the case.
So in previous conversations we've had, and we've got about 5.5 minutes, we got some time. In previous conversations, though, people, I don't think, realize what happens to the lives of these kids, and, you know, how they have absolutely a disregard. This is literally an economic thing that human life literally means nothing. So can you kind of put that into context again?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that we get a chance to talk about this, because this is a really important distinction. And what you said is exactly accurate. It's an economic thing for the bad guys. And why I say important distinction is because even for you and I that know that it's an economic thing, for you and I, it's still a human being, right? That's not the way these bad guys see it. And it's a supply and demand thing, all the kind of things that factor into economics. And to really briefly give you an example, right? If a drug dealer sells a bag of cocaine to a drug user, he's got to take the money that he makes from that drug user, from that sale, and he's got to go buy more cocaine with it in order to sell again, right? I mean, it's kind of just a basic model. I'm not trying to, you know, teach people how to sell drugs out there, but it's a basic kind of idea of how that works.
Right.
And that's not the case with a human being. The reality is they're going to resell that woman or child another 15 or maybe even 30 times a day. We're told that on average, one of these pimps, and some of these guys, like in Spokane, for example, are high school age pimps. And that on average, they've got 4 to 6 women or children in servitude, and that they can make as much as $200,000 tax-free, by the way, a year per victim, right? So it touches on economics, absolutely, because that's the way the bad guys process this thing, and it's also economics that is probably one of the leading factors that contributes the people selling their kids into slavery, both internationally and here locally. You know, we've got moms selling their 12 and 13 year old kids to their boyfriend's friends to pay bills. We've got, you know, I can remember going and getting a young woman a few years ago, and this young lady actually wound up being a catalyst for a lot of change here in the area. And I can remember going and getting her from a house where the woman basically was letting a lot of young kids stay there for free so that she could use all of their EBT cards, basically their food stamps. So they turn over their food stamps, a couple $100 per kid, right? So she's sitting there with maybe $1,000 or $1,500 worth of food stamps a month. Then she's going to go sell for cash. And in turn, letting some of the kids in those home victimize the girls that stay there. Just weird stuff that happens when we see the way poverty and addiction is exploited.
Right.
And so when you're talking about maybe somebody that might come here from through the caravan, then really what that's going to look like, obviously, is potentially being in some underground brothel or someplace that, you know, very unlikely are they necessarily going to be brought here in order to, like, you know, finish their GED. Right. I mean, it's rare that the ones that are brought here from other countries are being allowed access to those other types of services.
So here's another question then, and we've got 2 minutes left. And so what happens to these products, or however these handlers want to look at it, but what happens to these precious lives when all of a sudden, because at a certain point they become so worn, weathered, aged, or what have you, what happens to these kids and these women that are trapped and young men? Because this actually goes across the full spectrum of genders and so forth. What happens when they're done?
Right, right. Well, and I'm glad you say this, because there's probably 3 statistics I want to share with you today. 2 of them we'll get to later, but one of them, for the sake of time, we'll just talk about now. And it's the one that I can't shake, that the average life expectancy of one of these women or children, and again, like you said, young men as well, is 7 years from the time they begin being trafficked. They have a 7-year lifespan due to beatings, STDs, pregnancies that go sideways, things that go unchecked, murder, all sorts of things. It's about a 7-year life expectancy. And so over that 7-year period of time, though, I mean, we're talking about kids that have talked to us about, I mean, and shared this in front of City Hall, being, you know, chained to a water heater for like a week without food, in a basement, in what they call a trap house here in America, you know,
right.
In this country. And so trying to access other resources, right? Education, help with mental illness, trauma care, emergency services, those things go right out the window when you're soiling yourself in a basement.
And so 7 years life expectancy. Is it common that these handlers and pimps just let these kids go at some point, or is it always they want to make sure that there is no trail back to them? They have to cover their tracks and basically dispose of these lives.
Yeah, and you know, we should probably get into detail either today or at another date on the next segment. But due to the psychological nature.
Yeah. So, hey, Aaron, I hate to cut you off.
Yeah, we're actually up against it now.
Yeah, we're at the time. So hold on, Aaron, and we will be right back after word from our sponsors. So Aaron is going to be right back with us. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, Aaron, thank you so much for holding out with us. We were just kind of going into the conversation of what these handlers, what these pimps do Obviously, I believe because they're out there committing and they're entrenched in committing crime and trafficking people that they have to cover their tracks all the time. And so
with psychological warfare and psychological damage, man, this process starts with grooming. And it's one of the things actually that we've been teaching kids in high schools. And actually what's really effective is when the kids are teaching other kids, but the process begins with some really insidious relationship building. And I think we've all heard like the term Stockholm syndrome, and that is absolutely one of the things that applies here. So the reality is that for the most part, and I knew this, when we started doing rescue, that I'm going to have to go get a girl anyway, three or four times on average, because they'll actually go back to this violence, this trauma and this abuse, because their entire view of themselves, their view of humanity, I mean, it has been so warped. They don't see themselves as valuable and human anymore. And so there's very, very few of them that ever come forward, and certainly that would ever testify. Here's an interesting statistic, and this is from the FBI. 99% of trafficking victims will actually never be rescued or relocated. 99%. Of the 1% that are, they say 96% will never lead what you and I would call a normal life again. The psychological torture and drama and damage is so difficult and powerful to heal from that very rarely do the bad guys have to worry about, a young girl escaping from a trap home, running to the cops and saying, hey, this is what's going on in there. And so they, first of all, are predators, and they prey on the marginalized, right? This is literally, again, it's an economics thing. And so if you understand like a a wolf pack in a forest, right? They don't go after the big bull moose, right? They wait for the baby moose or the one that maybe is crippled. And as it's crossing the river, right, they go and hunt that one. And that's what happens is that in our society, it's the women, the kids, the mentally ill, and the elderly. It's people that are brought here from other countries, and their documents are either forged or they're taken away so that they have no ability to actually go and ask for help. And so it's those, it's the foster kids, right? 74% of trafficking victims, we're told, were once in foster care. Because these bad guys know that at the day that this kid turns 18, their services, their housing, their shelter, their safe place, most importantly, their positive sphere of influence is potentially evaporated immediately upon turning 18. They're released to the world with to figure out how they're going to fend for themselves. And so these bad guys start grooming these kids at an early age, and they create these terrible relationships, and that's how they actually control. And so it's typically, you know, we don't have what we might see, you know, in like the Ukraine or Southeast Asia or someplace like that, where some pimp is going to come and riddle somebody's house full of bullets in order to get a girl back. It's not worth it economically to do that when in their mind they can go get that girl's cousin or sister, or that girl's going to come back anyway.
Right. Okay. So with the fact that the time of year we're heading into, you know, a very special and religious holiday, Christmas. And yeah. Because I know you've been doing this for a few years, advocating. And when I say advocating, folks, what that means is Aaron actually has quite a few rescues in homes in the Spokane area. And so how is bringing normalcy back into the lives of these who you've, you know, pulled out, rescued from this despicable situation?
Yeah.
What is that? How is that?
I love that you tie that into Christmas, man, because it's truly the deal, right? A light shining in a darkness, right? I mean, obviously, you know, I could go on and on about that, but it truly is that. And it's my favorite thing to actually talk about. I mean, the rescues sometimes have to happen. The relocations are important. But loving another human being back to life, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about walking another human being through life. So, yes, it's access to services. Yes, it's helping them with a pair of glasses or a driver's license, with a job application. It's also maybe riding with them on the bus to that job interview because they're freaking out and they're thinking that they might see that they're going to see the bad guy at any moment. Right? That they haven't fully healed yet. They're trying to take this step, and it's walking through life with a human being and telling them it's okay. Right. It's okay to be broken, right? We're not going to go anywhere. There's no end date. There's no program that Jonah has where we say at this date, you have to be healed. We are going to be here for you as long as it takes. We want you home.
But does the holiday Christmas bring on different types of challenges? And I say that because you understand that there's possibly, you know, they may be oppressed, recessed, or, you know, way back in the deep recesses of their childhood memories of Christmas, that family and that type of thing. But as well as the spiritual connotation of Christmas, and sometimes, you know, how we as human beings, as judges of ourselves, we kind of trap ourselves into, you know, this lack of worthiness and so forth. I can imagine that this probably creates great windows of opportunity as well as portals of problems.
You know, I guess the opportunity potentially for people in this season to maybe be, you know, awakened to the fact that there are literally slaves, right? Something that we said was illegal a couple hundred years ago is still an issue. So, yeah, I think that there is, you know, by the way, in Isaiah, I mean, if we're talking about our faith in Isaiah, right, in the Old Testament, they first start talking about a light's going to shine in the darkness, right? And in that passage, by the way, right, to us, a son is born, right? A prince of peace is going to be given to us. It's in that passage that they talk about that son's going to come and set the captives free. That's what he's going to come to do, right? And Jesus is asked, what he's come to do. It's the same thing, right? It's to set the captives free. That was actually a very real thing, by the way, in the Old Testament when they were talking about that. That little village area of Nazareth and Bethlehem, this place where for many of us who we would call our Savior was born, that was actually in the epicenter of what then was the modern day slave trade, right? You had Egypt and Assyria and all these different places waging war on one another and ripping through these villages and taking them into slaves, and so it's a kind of a history lesson for us. But yeah, I think this season I would hope that people would open their eyes. I don't know that this season is more challenging in terms of for what we do than any other. I think that the challenge maybe for us is to see what opportunities are open for us to bring awareness to the issue, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does make sense. One of the things I think, because we got about 2 minutes left, and your organization's website is what, thejonahproject.org or what?
Just Jonah, J-O-N-A-H, project.org. And just real quick while we're plugging that, jonahproject.org, you asked earlier also what it's like to kind of walk a human being through the healing.
Uh-huh.
On our website, we've got a survivor resource tab. We actually have a resource binder that we train advocates with. And we have in counseling offices here in schools in the Spokane area. And these are public schools. That's on our website in a PDF form for free for the public. We want to be really transparent about who we are, what we believe in, what we think will work to bring a human being back to life. And so I just want to let everybody know that we would encourage people to kind of do their homework on us and take a look at that stuff.
Excellent. And I'm going to presume, because there's lots of us that have much better situations than you. And just to be clear, folks, Aaron and all of his staff take zero money as far as, you know, this is all donated time and completely sacrifice. This is all sacrifice. And so if there's a way and you have the ability to try to brighten up somebody that's, you know, lived in a very dark hole for a while, and provide some type of assistance, financial, you know, and I would presume that they could probably take gifts and so forth. But money is really, I think, because you have bills on a monthly basis. And I know it's got to be hard coming up with the money and trying to do that, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, you know, we absolutely. I mean, and that's a fact. I mean, you know, you and I have talked off air before about.
Right.
You know, helping a kid with a pair of shoes and getting home and realizing, you know, talking to my wife and realizing we didn't have money to get our own son a pair of shoes. I mean, those are sometimes the realities. But our hope also is that that will speak to people. I mean, I think the reality is that love is going to cost us something. But you're right, GR, the monthly commitments. And I just want to say for anybody who's listening that maybe has already given to us. You'll probably be getting a thank you letter because it's the end of the year. That's one of the highlights of my year is being able to say thank you. The monthly commitments, even if it's something like $25, those things are what literally sustain me being able to go to a foreign country and get a woman back across the border and home to her children. Or the woman that I was talking to you about, and you know, even if it's something that doesn't require a massive amount of training, like getting a girl on a Greyhound bus and away from a bad guy, that stuff costs. And you're right, the people that are volunteering for us, GR, they all have full time jobs doing other professions, and we're thankful for them. And so, anything helps. Absolutely, anything helps.
And so, folks, if you have anything, then it does help. And so I would just ask that you go to, again, it's jonahproject.org.
Yes, sir.
And I've got your contact information right on the Red State Talk Radio podcast, as well as the important links page. So folks, if you're driving and you can't remember, just go to the reclaimingtherepublic.org podcast page. It's the Red State Talk Radio podcast page, and you can get that contact information right there as well. I uh, I appreciate all that you do. And
I'm thankful to you, man. This is about being a voice for people that don't have one. And that's what you're doing right now. You've been a friend to us, GR, a loyal friend to us, and I appreciate it.
I'm an advocate for liberty, and when people, regardless of their age, has their liberty robbed from them, then we have to take a stand.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
I appreciate you coming on, and we're literally hitting at that wall. So if you would hold on, we'll talk after the break on a private side, folks. I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Well, I promised you, and I'm really sorry that we didn't have the best of connections, but I promised you a good, insightful bit of information. And as Aaron kind of throws out the facts, and that's only the tip of the iceberg, my friends, regardless of where you live, I would just challenge you to take a little effort and look in your local area to see how the sex slave trade is operating in your area. Because I'm telling you, Spokane is not a big city. It is rampant in these big cities. It just happens to be on the train line that literally brings sex slaves up from Tijuana, up along to Seattle, and across over to Minneapolis, and down throughout the central states, the big cities, and all the way. This goes all the way over and around to Atlanta and down to Miami and back. The magnitude, and I think he ventured to say somewhere around 300,000 total, maybe, in the sex slave trade. I only think that's the tip of the iceberg. I think that we really don't know how big and how wide this is spread. And so what I would ask is, if you're not in an area, look, if you're really in rural America where there is just no sex trade and or brothels and or anything like that, because you'll find that wherever you can find pimps and prostitutes and those types of things, you will find sex slaves because they're cheap and they make a lot of money. People that get into the business usually get roughed and pushed out of the business just because they're competing with these thugs. This true criminal. I mean, come on, look, prostitution is a criminal element, but those who are running this, they want to control the entire market space, and it's about money. As Aaron has admitted, and actually he's the one that pointed it out to me, this is literally about money, my friends. And so if you kind of start looking in your local area, if you can find how this is, and the best way, go to your preachers, go to your pastors, go to your church leaders in the local area and ask them. And then start looking at the national, you know, like go to the Jonah Project and go to some of these other large advocacy centers and reach out to them and say, hey, do we live close to this? You can start trying to shut this down, but the only way we're going to effectively shut this down is by shutting down the demand. Where's the demand coming from? Well, I have been telling you that our education system has been debasing our society. And as long as we keep sexualizing and as long as we turn our backs on enlightenment, I've talked about this before, but it's worth bringing up now, even though I don't have a lot of time, maybe I'll bring up more of this after the break. But the point is that when this nation was founded, it was founded on enlightenment. What is enlightenment? What was that whole concept? It was about learning and educating ourselves, improving our productivity, improving our society, and building upon disciplines and principles that actually helped us elevate ourselves to become greater than the sum of our parts, creating synergy and creating symbiosis that allowed ourselves to literally extract the maximum potential out of everything and out of everyone. If you can start fathoming this whole concept of enlightenment is literally the opposite, the antithesis of being centered on carnal pursuits and the concepts of addictive behavior. And the addictive behavior is destructive to enlightenment. And if you understand the whole concept of learning and being able to become smarter and more capable and more innovative and so forth, then you can actually start recognizing how enlightenment has been debased and how we've completely turned our backs on enlightenment. We are not an enlightened society. We are a debased society. And if anything, we're only leveraging on those debased principles, those carnal principles. And that's where all the focus is in our society today. And so I can see I'm literally out of time. So when we come back from this next break, what I will do is I'll try to summarize all of this information so that we can move forward in trying to work together, because I am telling you, our problem is really our education system. And it's the federal government. It is all of these things, but literally our problem is, you know, something that we can control, and we have to start controlling it. There we go. So when we come back after the hard break, I will start getting into a little bit more of this and try to summarize where we need to go and more at the school level. So we'll be right back after this, folks. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time.
In contrast, republic review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need republic review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about republic review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and republic review process. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
As you may know, and I've been mentioning this for probably a couple of weeks now, that I also have Mark Erbach coming on, and he is an educator. He actually has written a few books. One of his books that he wrote was Believe, and I believe the subtitle is Does America Need Another Great Awakening or a Third Great Awakening, something like that. And he identifies clearly how the progressives have instrumentally and methodically removed Christianity and religion and morals out of our education system, just like I have. And so I guess we're kind of birds of the same feather, but the point is that I'm hoping, as an educator and as an author, I'm hoping to motivate him into probably taking on a challenge. So we'll see. I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. And we will actually, you will hear our conversation, but hopefully he'll take on the challenge of writing a book and or a curriculum that parents can start using in countering what the education system is doing. They are actually teaching your kids that this religious Christianity is dogma, and it is something that we're trying to use to take away their good time for them to enjoy life the way they want to. And they deserve that kind of life. Who are we to deny them of these things? I mean, literally, that's the space that these progressives are in. And they're leveraging and wedging these types of morals and these types of values in between you and your kids. And so I just want you to understand that I'm not just idly sitting by. I'm trying to find, and because this is a solution-based program, and as well as Mobius Strip Press is a continuum of a narrative of liberty. And so getting back to what Aaron is doing, I want you to understand this whole process of rehab. It's kind of like the mourning process, and it takes time. Not everyone, you know, can just land on their feet and be okay. Some people take a lot, and depending on the type of damage that has been done through this breaking process that he's talked about before, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of love. And understanding that so many of these kids that come from, that get into this, that come from the foster children and how they how effective they are in targeting these kids. This is a very nefarious and pernicious process and organization. So the question I have is when we really start looking at what we're facing, how safe are your kids? You as a parent, you send your kids off to school and you want to think, well, I hope they're safe. And the real safety that they're trying to get you to think is, are your kids safe from a gun, you know, a shooting and some kind of calamity at school when some kid goes postal because they've rooted out morality from our society and that these kids are godless and have no morals? But the question is, how safe are your kids from school? When you send them to school, I should say, in school. And so what are they safe from? When they want to tell you that, oh, they're trying to make your children safe, what are they safe from? Because I will tell you, it seems like they're trying to make your kids safe from Christianity. It doesn't seem to me like they care about the future of our morals, the future of what we're doing. Hey, they don't care about how many abortions need to be given. They don't care about, you know, how many people have to, you know, die or, you know, depend upon some type of state health care program in, you know, mending whatever ails them because they've lived a riotous life of smoking, drinking, drugs, and what have you. Having a relationship in my family with people on the medical side and seeing the ravages that these things in our society are doing. I remember when I was a kid growing up and drugs were just becoming a prevalent thing. And, you know, a lot of kids were thinking, oh, well, this stuff, it's innocuous. It can't hurt us. I will tell you, the one scientific fact is that it takes time to measure results. You just don't know what cigarettes are going to do to you until you've actually been smoking for a period of time. Enough people have smoked over the history of tobacco being in our culture and so forth that they can give you a litany of all of the potential hazards and the likely hazards that you will obtain or acquire if you continue to smoke as a chronic smoker. It's the same thing with drinking. It's the same thing with almost all of these drugs because we've been able to measure the results because they've been prevalent in our society for a long period of time. You can also, if you look at what our school system is doing and the way they're teaching and the direction that they're taking us, we are literally being hurled into a Sodom and Gomorrah. We are literally looking at a truly debased society where the only thing that really matters is, you know, whether the kids are enjoying themselves and having a good time. They don't care if these kids get a job. They don't care if these kids are contributors to society. They really don't, especially those who are designing these curriculums. What they care is that these kids are malleable and pliable so that they can actually get them into a position where they can control them and enslave them. It is a very evil and dark plan. And this isn't something that is, you know, an outlier. We kind of know every society faces these types of downfalls. In a Christian sense, if you look at the Bible, they talk about, you know, the circumstances, conditions, and things that will be in the last days. I want to let you know your kids are not safe. If you're sending them to school without any extra protections from the curriculum and the dogma that they are receiving from these secular godless people, then I will tell you, and even though there may be Christians involved in the education system, they're completely oblivious to the fact that they're ramming secular godlessness down their throats. They're not true Christians. And I'm not judging. I'm just stating the facts. I will be back tomorrow. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.